Hello everyone, Randy here with a pre-show announcement. We had a little technical difficulty with the recording this week, and so editing is a little more jerky than usual in the first half of the show. Not to lay a guilt trip on you guys, but perhaps if more of you would buy our latest book, It's Okay to Have Lead in Your Lipstick, then we could buy Perry a new computer and this wouldn't happen. Regardless, I just wanted to apologize in advance for the audio glitches you're about to hear. And now, on with the show. 2015 is a brand new year, and hopefully you've resolved to listen to more of The Beauty Brains, where real scientists answer your beauty questions, for Tuesday, January 6th, 2015. Hello everyone, I'm Randy Schuler, and I'm here with the co-anchor of the show, Perry Romanowski. Hey, Perry.
Hey, Randy, how's it going?
Great.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
God, I love this time of year.
Oh, yeah.
This is the time of year where I like to put together all of my goals and things, and
yep.
I do like a mind map and, you know, create, you know, probably 100 different goals.
Excellent.
We'll see how many I accomplish. I think last year, I finished about 40% of my goals, which isn't bad, but, you know, if you got a 40% on, like, a test, you wouldn't do that well, right?
Your goals must be pretty lofty if you're only getting that percentage of them accomplished.
Well, some of them are loftier than others. I wanted to win, I wanted to qualify for the Boston Marathon, for example, and I wasn't quite fast enough this year to do it. So next, maybe I'll do that next year.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, it's a fun time of year. Hey, you know, I'm reminded of something that, remember I went to the SCC meeting in December.
Yeah, we talked about that in the last episode.
Right, but what we didn't talk about is one of the keynote speakers was physicist Brian Greene. And I bring him up because I had been reading a book of his called The Fabric of the Universe, but it's all about quantum theory and general relativity and string theory. It's fascinating stuff, but it turns out that we may be living in a three brain. And so I think somehow we can tie the beauty brains into quantum physics because there's this whole, it's this whole brain world.
wait. We're living in a three brain. I don't know what that means.
Well, a three brain is a three-dimensional construct made up of these different kinds of strings. To tell you the truth, I don't even think the author knows what he's talking about. It was once said about quantum mechanics that nobody knows anything about, or nobody understands quantum mechanics. So it's very difficult. But it's a fascinating book. It's called The Fabric of the Universe, and if you're looking for some nice January reading while you're out running, this is a good book for you. Hey, this is our beauty science review show today, right? But why don't we go through and talk about some of the best segments from last year?
Yeah, well, you know, when it gets to be the end of December and the beginning of January, you know, all the programs trot out their best of shows, right?
Of course.
It's, you know, basically the show becomes one long rerun, you know, as they play the clips from earlier in the year. No, not us. That's not how we're going to play it. We have a show filled with brand spanking new beauty science news stories for the audience today.
Yes.
And that's how we roll. But to your point, in kind of a nostalgic nod to 2014, you know, maybe we could recap a few of our favorite moments from the show from last year and, you know, talk about either what we think is most valuable to the listeners or what we just enjoyed the most. So,
right.
Well, let's do that.
I think we should start with a pat on our own virtual backs for we recorded a show every week last year. So what we went from 12 to 64, right?
Yes, we did.
Yeah,
that is a good accomplishment.
Yeah, exactly. So kudos to that. So what were some of your favorite moments?
Well, one of the highlights for me, and it was something that came up on a couple of our shows last year, was that we introduced this notion of the Kligman questions to people. And let me just explain those real quickly as a reminder or as an introduction in case you didn't hear those shows. But, you know, when we ask people to think skeptically about beauty products, we try and give them a framework, you know, to work within. And we found, you know, one of the most famous cosmetic dermatologists was Albert Kligman. And he said, if you're trying to figure out if an anti-aging product really works, you should ask three questions about that product. So we sort of have our version of his questions, and here they are. The first question is, based on the chemistry of the ingredient, is there any scientific mechanism that could explain why it would work? So in other words, is it theoretically possible that this thing could do what it supposedly could do? The second question is, does this ingredient or product penetrate to the part of the skin where it needs to get in order to work? You know, if it's a product that works on the surface, I'm sure it does fine. But if it's something that is, affects the DNA, you know, which we talked about last week, then it has to get down to the DNA. Does it really do that? Is there any evidence for that? And then thirdly, are there any peer-reviewed, double-blind, placebo-controlled studies demonstrating that the product really works when applied to real people? So if you can find information, you know, in the affirmative on all three of those questions, then I'd say you've got good cause to believe a product really works. And we used that framework over and over again in our shows last year. So that was one of the things I thought was most important and most impressive.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, when you see most marketing and things, they don't use that framework. They usually stop on the story piece, and it's that third question which almost all technologies fall down in, because it's very difficult to prove something like that. Well, I recall last year one of my favorite things were all the clever games you invented.
That was fun.
We had the introduction of the improbable products, which there were a couple of interesting improbable products. I remember the segment on what was the mail products.
Yes.
And, you know, and that actually prompted a little outrage from listeners. And so it got you to do a female version of the mail
product. Version, right.
Yep. So there you go. And, of course, there were a few games I introduced which went over like a lead balloon. Which will unlikely to be seen again. But that was fun. So I had a great time with all of the crazy games.
I also enjoyed just some of the wackiness of some of the listeners' questions. You know, I mean, people asked, you know, can skin lotion make you fat? I had that question about, you know, is facial yoga for real? You can cure cellulite using coffee grounds.
Because all of those questions have a kernel of some relevant science, which is kind of interesting to look at, yeah. And that's one of the fun things about doing the show. And then, of course, there's the controversy over the catchphrase, of course, right?
It's like, I think the turning point was when we came out with the T-shirt. I think that really cemented it. Although we have had several complaints, and I know you've tried to hijack the ending. You know, in the long run, be brainy about your beauty has stuck. So
it seems like we've settled on the catchphrase. I still haven't exactly embraced it. And actually, if anyone out in the audience has what they think as a candidate of a better catchphrase, I would be willing to trot that out. I'm not sure Randy would be, but.
I played a little excerpt of the fan saying hello to us, and I have an update, so I thought I'd take a second and play that today. So here we go.
Hi, Brains. This is Paulette.
Hi, Beauty Brains. This is Philip from Hamburg, Germany.
Hey, Beauty Brains. I am one of your newest fans.
Hi, my name is Alessandra. I have a question for you.
Hi, this is Mia from St. Louis.
Hey guys, this is Chris from Norway.
Hi Beauty Brains, my name is Veronica and I'm a native Chicagoan. And Perry, maybe you don't like your voice, but I certainly do. Thanks guys.
Wow. Ooh, I'm blushing here. I need a moment to gather myself. Well, thank you very much, Veronica. You've made my day.
On that note, why don't we move on to some new news stories from 2015, but first...
Avoid 5 o'clock shadow.
I'm sorry, it's a bit... hypnotizing.
It is. What was that? The Lone Ranger's partner doing that commercial?
What are you talking about?
Tonto. Did you ever watch The Lone Ranger?
Love The Lone Ranger. I don't remember his Indian companion doing razor blade advertising, though.
So let's move on to the beauty science stories, huh? Here's some cool new technology that could have a significant impact on the future of cosmetics. The good folks over at L'Oreal, they partnered with this company, Organova, which is a 3D bioprinting company, and they've managed to create bioprinted human skin. So essentially what they do is they take human skin cells, they run them through this computer printer, and then they print out layers of human skin. Now, the first application of this technology is going to be in the area of cosmetic sensitivity and toxicity testing. So it's going to, replace a number of animal tests. There you go. But, I see even greater potential here. At some point, this technology is going to be cheap enough where companies or even, individual doctors might be able to purchase these printers, right? And so you can imagine, a doctor could print sheets of the patient's own skin to get rid of scars or treat burns or maybe even, cover up tattoos, right? Imagine you have your own skin. Cosmetic companies also might be able to, say, create customized skincare products. I could see them taking a sample of your skin cells, printing up a whole sheet of your own skin and, testing products on that. So it's really, actually, it's an incredibly interesting time. I doubt this is going to, because 3D printing technology is just coming along. Pretty soon, people are just going to have 3D printers. But I doubt that this is really going to be available for, anytime really soon, maybe in the next 10 years, maybe. But that's just how technology, especially biotechnology like this. But the 3D revolution is happening, and I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully, it's going to aid me in my goal to live until I'm 100. Hey, you remember that story that we talked about last year about the drug addict in Florida who was hopped up on bath salts and ended up attacking someone and eating part of their face?
Of course. How could I forget?
Yeah, I mean, it was quite a big story back then, and it was the origin of a rumor that has actually remained persistent on social media, and the rumor is that doing bath salts will turn you into a zombie.
Ooh.
Well, it turns out that some drug researchers have looked into this and have found that, shockingly, there's no truth to this rumor that bath salts create any urge for you to eat another person. In fact, the guy from the original story, they thought he was high on bath salts. It turned out he wasn't high on bath salts. It was just, methamphetamines or something like that. But just to take a step back, the bath salts they're not really the bath salts that you get like at Sephora or Bath & Body Works, right?
They're not fizzy bathtub products.
Right. I mean, they look like fizzy bathtub products, but it's just that's the vehicle for drug dealers to sell these psychoactive drugs. They first appeared in gas stations around the United States, and that you can find them sold on street drug markets. The high comes from an ingredient that's put in there called methylene dioxypyrrolvalerone, which acts a bit like cocaine. So anyway, the drug is still out there, and it's actually a mini epidemic in South Florida. So just to let you know here on the Beauty Brains, while bath salts are not going to turn you into a zombie, we do not recommend that you sniff, snort, or inject bath salts.
The entire legal department of the Beauty Brains has just given you a standing ovation, so right. Well done.
Right. Incidentally, I should also say that we don't really recommend oil pulling either, but there's no harm. So as far as the bath salts go, though, take heart in knowing that if you do run into somebody who does sniff, snort, or inject these things, they're probably not going to try to eat you. So,
take great consolation in that. Thank you.
Hey, do you got a story?
Well, here's a shocking revelation that I found in the Journal of Archives of Sexual Behavior.
Oh my!
Apparently, men are attracted to women in high heels.
Get out of here.
who would have thunk? So the quote here, which I loved, was, "A French study is the first to investigate the effect of a woman's shoe heels on men's behavior."
Like, how do they fund these studies? I want a piece of this grant money. This is ridiculous. So, according to the report, and again here I quote, even though a link between high-heeled shoes and sexiness is implied in magazines and adult films, it's never been proven. So of course, they launched into a threefold study to document why this is the case. So here are the three parts of the test that these French researchers conducted. All right, so in the first part, men were asked by women to complete a survey. And when the survey taker was wearing high heels, the men were more likely to cooperate.
Oh.
That was part number one.
The high science here is just amazing.
All right, in the second part, they had women wearing heels of different sizes drop a glove, and they found that the higher the heel was, the more likely men were to pick up the glove from the woman.
Figuring that she had farther to bend over.
I presume. And then thirdly, the researchers watched men in a bar and found that they were quicker to start a conversation with women in high heels versus women who wore, quote, flat, sensible shoes. So the conclusion,
wow.
The researchers' conclusion from all this was, quote, women's shoe heel size exerts a powerful effect on men's behavior. I mean,
that is just amazing.
Don't you think, you know, the results would have been essentially the same if the women had been in, you know, bikinis? Like, well, like these results are about as startling as finding out that, you know, guys like to look at women's boobs. I mean, do we really need to study this to say this is true? I mean, look, until we get Ebola nailed down, I say we stop all this crappy research. I mean, we really don't need to be spending anybody's time and money on this.
It's hard to disagree with you, but the French are running out of things to study, apparently.
I've got another one here that kind of cracked me up. So as regular listeners of the show will recall, and we've talked about collagen in personal care products on a number of occasions. And while it's touted as an anti-aging ingredient, it is an important part of the structure of skin. It's just that when you apply it topically from a cosmetic, you know, it's pretty much worthless because collagen is too large to penetrate skin. Right?
Right.
Wrong.
Yeah, that's...
Wrong. Because there's a new technology that actually allows collagen to get down into the dermis where it can truly rebuild skin structure. Do you want to know what that technology is?
Well, yeah, sure. What is it?
I'll tell you in one word. Needles.
Yeah. It's collagen injections. This is a new technology.
This comes to us from a research team at the National University of Singapore, which was led by Dr. Kang Lifeng. You know, I'm skeptical already because Kang is a time-traveling supervillain who fights the Avengers, so this can't end well. But that aside, Kang's new technique uses tiny needles that are attached to an adhesive patch. And then he uses those to drive the collagen deep in the skin. Now, you know, apparently it goes all the way through the epidermis down to the dermis where it can really be effective. Now, this is still just, you know, at the research stage, but Kang and his team says that they are, quote, keen to work with industry partners, you know, to bring this to market. And rumor has it they're actually already working on their second new product, which is a topical analgesic that's designed to counteract the excruciating pain that comes from poking your face with collagen-filled needles. Well, really? Is this going to catch on? So stick this patch with 1,000 tiny needles on your face to and it's not going to work. Not going to happen.
So it's is that at-home collagen injection?
Yeah, basically.
Wow. There's two things I'm curious about. I wonder, even if you did inject the collagen, is it going to have some significant effect?
Yeah.
That's what I wonder. Because the collagen in your skin, it has like it's built into a structure,
sure.
A shape. It's like trying to, fix the hole in a sweater by pouring yarn on it, right? I mean, yes, the sweater's made of yarn, but it's a certain structure, right?
Right.
So I wonder if it's that. And then the other thing I wonder, if he is a time-traveling supervillain, what is his plan?
That remains to be seen.
I mean, how are you going to take over the world by getting people to inject collagen in their face? All right, here's one last story. It's a story that could affect the way cosmetics are made. Researchers have created this new way to combine oil and water. So you see, as our listeners may or may not know, most of the ingredients in cosmetics that are effective as moisturizers, they're oils, right? Mm-hmm. And as we talked about in previous shows, oil and water do not mix.
Right.
And the reason that you don't, the reason that we just don't give you oils as your cosmetics is because they're difficult to apply. They might feel sticky or greasy,
sure,
and, you know, just generally nasty. They're not pleasant. But, you know, your heroes, the cosmetic chemists, we put these things into things called emulsions, right? And it's those emulsions, to create those emulsions, we need to use these materials called surfactants. And the problem with surfactants is, while they're really good at combining oils and water to create emulsions, they can also be irritating.
Mm-hmm.
They require more ingredients in your cosmetics, and really on some level the emulsifiers, they're not having a benefit to the consumer except to deliver.
Yeah, just
the
just part of the delivery system. That's it.
Right, exactly, and some people can also be allergic to these things. So there has been effort afoot to create systems that don't have these surfactants. And what these researchers did, they were able to create essentially a nano emulsion using an ultrasound device. And it's sort of an iron tube where they put the water and oil and then this ultrasonic force, and they were able to create these nano-sized particles of oils, which happen to stay stable in water. And according to researchers, they created a water and olive oil solution or dispersion that has remained stable for 6 months. I mean, it sounds pretty interesting. And I wonder if you did this, it didn't say in the article about it, but I wonder if you did this, that those would be clear
emulsions, that's it.
Right?
Oh, that is interesting. And we know that microemulsions, where the particle size is small enough, because, well, the reason creams and lotions, emulsions, the reason those are creamy looking or opaque is because the particle size is such that the light bounces around, and when the light's, reflected like that or refracted, you can't see through it. But a microemulsion, where the particles are much, much smaller, the light can actually pass right through it without even bumping into any of those particles. So that's a great question. This could be a whole new technology for clear products.
Right. Can you imagine all of the skin creams now just being these clear products? You know, they're almost gel forms.
I'll tell you what, though. I'll bet that if that were the case, if the technology allowed that, they would have to add some sort of opacifying agent because people wouldn't believe it. You know, people are conditioned to look for creaminess as an indicator of richness. And I'll bet clear products wouldn't quite deliver that. That's my guess.
That's a good point. As cosmetic formulators, sometimes we put ingredients in products that don't really have an effect, but consumers like the product better if
sure.
it's in there.
Yeah, this could be an example. But this could allow the creation of clear ketchup, which has always been one of my my most beloved products.
Clear ketchup. I wonder what that would look like. Hmm. You know, it's improper to put a ketchup on a hot dog here in Chicago.
Because?
Turns out. It's just, you don't do that. You don't put ketchup on a hot dog in Chicago.
Can you dip?
You're not allowed to dip either. You can use you can use ketchup for your french fries, but not on the hot dog.
Wow. Hot dog police.
Indeed. All right, it looks like we're coming to the end of the show.
Yeah.
We got... I guess that could wrap things up, right?
Yeah.
We forgot to mention in 2015. People should go out and get our book.
Oh.
It's okay to have lead in your.
That's
lipstick.
Still on sale.
Yeah, it is. You can still get a copy right at our website or Amazon or wherever else you can get books online.
Excellent. And also, just a reminder from a couple of weeks ago, we're still looking for people to review our show on iTunes. So if you do that, we will. We promise you that we'll read your name and your review on the show. So look forward to that.
And we also haven't mentioned, if you have a question, just the easiest thing to do a question is record it right on your smartphone,
mm-hmm.
and then email that to thebeautybrains@gmail.com.
Excellent. All right. Well, thanks again, Perry, for another great show.
Well, thank you, Randy, and go make a difference.
And on that note, I'll just remind all our listeners to be brainy about your beauty. Take care, everybody.
I like when girls wear sexy shoes. Are you wearing sexy shoes?
Yeah, those are hot. She wants me so bad.
I like high heels on girls. That's so sexy.